we're going to have to rebuild within this wild, wild west of information flow some sort of curating function.
It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve.
We've got to maybe do something with the internet.
Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Somebody will say, oh, freedom of speech, freedom of speech. These are foolish people.
TikTok banned, sold, unsold, unbanned, rebanned, or something. Four Hong Kong youths arrested for online postings under new security law. How Chinese spies use LinkedIn to target assets. And the battle against encryption in the USA. This is Access of Easy number 157. Hey everybody, Mark Jeftovic here with another episode of the Access of Easy Weekly Digest, taping this one today on August 4th, 2020, number 157, putting the show notes page on accessofeasy.com/157. And last week's quote was, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth." That was Albert Einstein. Nobody actually posted it to the blog. A few people emailed me the answer, but that's not the way this works. So if you want to win it, you got to be in it by posting the correct source of the quote to the show notes page. This week's quote is, "A thoroughly scientific dictatorship will never be overthrown." Remember, first person to post the correct source will win their next domain or web hosting renewal on us. Okay, so TikTok is all over the place. I was offline most of the long weekend, and every time I checked back online, the situation seemed to have changed dramatically. On Friday night, I got a news alert that Trump would be issuing an executive order banning the social media sensation by Saturday. And then during Saturday, the news hit that ByteDance would be grudgingly agreeing to sell TikTok to Microsoft. And then later on Saturday, it appeared as though the deal was off. It was being reported that the Trump administration didn't like it so much. And then even the Chinese authorities didn't like it either. And then I wrote the main newsletter on Sunday night. It looked like Microsoft was going to try and get the deal back on track. And now it's Tuesday and it's just kind of all over the place. At one point, I heard a rumor that even Apple was interested in it. I think Axios reported that. And then I just saw they just retracted that story. So it is kind of too early to call what's going to happen there, but it is all over the place. I did come across an interesting post by Proton Mail's Richie Koch, who talks about the privacy implications of TikTok, and then MetaView's Jesse Hirsch continued reporting on his coverage of TikTok because he has always found it to be an oddly compelling platform. And we talked about it a lot on Access of Easy Salon 15, which we did last Thursday, which was supposed to be the geopolitics of TikTok episode, but we didn't actually get to the geopolitics part. Four Hong Kong youths arrested for online postings under new security law. So the new Chinese security laws imposed on Hong Kong look to be taken seriously by the police there, as four youths have just been arrested for their posts on social media, which advocate for the secession from China. The four students, three males, one female, ranging in age from 16 to 21, were arrested for announcing on social media that they were setting up an organization dedicated to the cause of Hong Kong independence. It's unclear which organization they belong to or which social media platform they were posting to. The Hong Kong group Student Localism announced on Facebook that they would disband ahead of these new security laws coming in. They were introduced about a month ago, and the identities of the four arrested were not released, but this group, as they were disbanding, also said four of its members had been arrested on secession charges. And surprise, YouTube censorship actually expanded the reach of the California Doctors video. So back in April, California Docs Dan Erickson and Artin Masai They held that press conference challenging the wisdom of maintaining the coronavirus lockdowns. And they both doctors at the time said the lockdowns were an appropriate measure in the beginning, but that they should be wound down sooner than later because the risk of non-COVID damage, such as mental illness, domestic violence, and even suicide, would take a human toll that may actually exceed the damage done by the virus itself. And since then, data has been coming out that kind of bears up that they may have been onto something. But they were widely reviled for their press conference at the time. The social media platforms, took down their video wherever it was. It went viral with millions of views, and YouTube banned it. Facebook canceled their clinic's webpage. And so in a recent interview with Reclaim the Net, Dr. Erickson told them that the deplatforming actually helped the video spread more, if you can imagine that. Quote, when we did our initial press conference, it went to about 5 million, and then they'd had enough, so they pulled it down. It went to BitChute, but it got shared so many times they were having trouble because people had recorded it on all kinds of devices and were resharing. I almost think that the censorship caused an increased spread because all different countries' heads of state were calling, wondering why we were taken down and very interested in the topic at that point, end quote. So I have highlighted that phrase, heads of state were calling. I wonder if they mean that literally or if I was looking for more background towards that quote in particular. Do they mean just government people were asking them or literal heads of state, which I find a little on the hard to believe side. Anyway, as it turns out, it seems like when there's a concerted effort to deplatform somebody's opinion on something, it's almost as if the controversy induces people to seek out the banned material even more, causing it to spread even faster. Remember, I said this in my book, Chapter 4, Does Deplatforming Even Work? And I say it doesn't. Remember, you can download my book for free. The link's in the show notes page. And if you're curious to what all the hullabaloo about the video was about in the first place, we did upload it to the Axis of Easy website. So if you think you can form an opinion on your own, then you're invited to go check it out and hear what they said. The definitive database of canceled people. I came across a database that keeps track of people who've been canceled, defined as those who have lost something valuable, such as a position or a job, or have their future options curtailed owing to the stigma of being canceled, or they've been hurt financially through business loss or boycott for what the database moderators call reasonable expression. And while the moderators admit that deciding what constitutes reasonable is a subjective call, their about page does a pretty good job of, laying out the boundaries of that, and the entries in the database itself do seem consistent in those terms. I was going to put a couple of example entries from the database in the newsletter. I decided against it because even if I put an example there of something I find reasonable that got somebody canceled, somebody is going to think I'm literally Hitler for even mentioning it, so I'm not going to mention it. How Chinese spies use LinkedIn to target assets. This BBC expose relates the story of Yun Wei Yao. He's a Singaporean PhD student specializing in Chinese foreign policy. He was approached by some people after delivering a talk and told they worked for a Chinese think tank and wanted to keep in touch with them. As the relationship developed, he realized they were actually Chinese intelligence agents, but he kept in touch with them anyhow. They eventually nurtured him to the point where he was approaching American targets via LinkedIn, using a fictional consulting company as cover and luring said targets into providing scuttlebutt and sundry information. And he was tasked by his handlers to target information about, quote, the U.S. Department of Commerce, artificial intelligence, and the Sino-U.S. trade war, end quote. This went on for 5 years, and he was eventually charged by U.S. authorities, and he has pled guilty to being an illegal agent of a foreign power and faces 10 years imprisonment. The battle against encryption in the USA. So we reported in Axis of Easy number 152 how the Lawful Access to Information Act would essentially make backdoors into encryption products mandatory in the USA. There's also the Earn It Act, which looks to remove CDA Section 230 immunities from tech platforms. So that's a section that indemnifies tech platforms against user-generated content, and it would make them subject to an as-yet-to-be-determined set of best practices governing content. So ThreatPost did an interview with encryption expert Rihanna Pfefferkorn, who believes the initiatives, quote, pose dire threats to cybersecurity and privacy, end quote. Pfefferkorn is a associate director of surveillance and cybersecurity at the Stanford Center for Internet and Society, who makes the case that this amounts to a, quote, full frontal nuclear assault on encryption in the United States, end quote. COVID-19 drives businesses into the cloud and cybercrime follows. So with more businesses moving toward remote work and thus to the cloud because of the coronavirus pandemic, Dark Reading outlines how the cyber criminals are not far behind. Crooks have focused on three main silos of activity: data theft, crypto mining, and ransomware. The most common way to penetrate operations are through remote exploitations of cloud applications. Next up are server misconfigurations, where companies, through neglect or oversight, leave data open to being siphoned off. That's when people like Bob Dianchenko hopefully find it first and notify the companies before the data gets ripped off. And of course, there's ransomware, which we see all the time, and then crypto mining, where hackers install illicit mining software on compromised machines and use them to mine cryptocurrency on the victim's electricity and their dime. Access of Easy Salon 15, Toxic Tech Platforms and Disposable Social Media Stars. So like I said a few minutes ago, this Access of Easy Salon was supposed to be about the geopolitics of TikTok, but we ended up talking about other things like how tech platforms contribute to rabid polarization, which breaks down civil discourse, and the ephemeral nature of social media stardom. It's possibly a good thing we never got to the geopolitics of TikTok part, because it probably would have been obsolete as soon as the weekend hit. So it's all there in the show notes, which are at accessofeasy.com/157. I hope you had a nice long weekend. For those of us who celebrate the long weekend, I think all of the Canadian provinces except Quebec, and I believe it's a holiday in the U.S. as well. And stay safe, stay sane, stay healthy, and we will see you all next week. Yeah.